The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
There you have it. There's Sons of Apollo for you right here on Radio Memphis Prog Time, radio-memphis.com. Coming Home. And of course, that is off their album, Psychotic Symphony. And you know you're talking about a major supergroup when you're talking Jeff Scott Soto, Billy Sheehan, Derek Sherinian, Ron Bumblefoot Thal. You know I love me some Bumblefoot. And of course, we're naming him Mr. Mike Portnoy. We finally get to name him. And one of the beautiful things about being able to name him now is that we're going to get a chance to talk with him. But the beautiful thing and the most coolest treat on the planet is that not only do we get to talk to Mike, we also get to talk to Max.
Max Portnoy.
Yes.
We've had Max.
Max is cool. Max gets the red carpet and everything, man, because he's been on here before. But as it turns out, we've got both boys on hold with us. So let's go ahead and bring them on in right now. How are you doing, Mr.?
We're here. Hello. You got one son of Apollo and one grandson of Apollo.
Oh my goodness.
Very nice.
That sounds real deep.
It's very deep.
I know. It goes into this whole realm. Of course, that would make perfect sense. Perfect sense, you know, coming from you guys. I expect nothing less. Thank you guys so much for spending some time with us here on Radio Memphis.
No problem.
Yeah. So how's everything going with you guys?
You want to go first?
We're happy to be home and together. I've been touring all year, every year.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I get to come home for the holidays, and Max has been recording, and he's been away. So, you know, it's great that we're both home together, and my daughter Melody is home from college. So, you know, it's always great to be home for the holidays especially when they're getting older. So it's our chance to all be together again.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's some fantastic stuff. And I know both of you have been so extremely busy. And I tell you, Max, I noticed that you've been following in your dad's footsteps because you're trying to pick up bands, like, you know, people buy shirts. and you are starting to really, you know, cut your way and make your way. And for the both of you, I sit there and I look at your schedules and I look at what you guys have going on, and I'm like, how does that family do it? This is what you guys do. This is your life. This is your world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely kind of following my dad's footsteps, being I'm starting like a new project now,
which
I've been working on recently. So like just getting off of like all this touring and stuff with next to none, like I got mm-hmm. back and I wanted to do like a more metal sort of thing rather than just the prog metal stuff.
Sure.
Like I formed something and wrote a couple songs with the guys, and we just actually recorded like about a week ago. So already have more than one band.
I am so proud for you, and it's so good to catch up with you again and stuff. You know, even though, like I said, you know, we finally get to catch up with your dad. You know, Max was cool though. Max came in first, just so you know. On this one, man, Max was first.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Mr. Mike Portnoy, I have to say, again, it's a pleasure having you here. We caught up with Bumblefoot not too long ago here, and you know, he could not speak any more highly of what you guys have going on with Sons of Apollo. And you know, one of the things I threw out to Bumblefoot was, and he was pretty cool about and forthcoming in that, you know, you guys have just done so many projects and you guys have done so many side things together. I wanted to hear it from you because you did such a cool thing by pretty much, you know, dragging everybody and making them wonder till the very last second before you dropped everybody's name of that super group. You know, what were you thinking? Was that your idea the whole time?
Well, we got together and started the album in March, and we knew that it wouldn't be coming out till the end of the year. In this case, it was October.
Right.
So we didn't want to come out of the gates in March and get everybody excited about this new band and this incredible lineup, and then they have to wait 6 months before they could hear anything. So we kind of secretly worked away together on the album, and we kind of indirectly let it be known that it was me and Derek reuniting, and we had pretty much established that for the fans that were able to decipher it. But we left the other three guys a secret until we were ready to, you know, set up the album release.
Right,
so we didn't
right.
announce it until August. So, yeah, it's one thing to be making a record and you have to keep the details of the record secret, which is, you know, very common. But it was a whole nother level to keep the entire band a secret, you know, until, you know, only 2 months before the release. But once we announced the band in August, you know, we just went nuts. We had all kinds of videos and behind-the-scenes stuff and webisodes and commentary videos. So we were able to unleash the beast and set up the album. And now the album's out. We're just patiently waiting to begin touring.
That is perfect. And it's so funny because, you know, right when we heard the little rumblings, you know, of those of certain things happening, and, you know, and of course we were trying to keep up with the stuff on media, you know, and things like that. And then, you know, Phil and I, every time we'd sit down to do Prog Time and we were having these running bets, we're like, okay, you know, who do you think it is? You know, and we kept going back and forth and back and forth. And I tell you, man, I am so proud for you. And one of the things.
Well, I felt bad for Bumblefoot, Jeff, and Billy, because they had to keep quiet the whole time, you know, so they were really secretive. But yeah, anyhow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to give it to them, though. Think about it. They were cool. They were quiet.
Totally.
They were quiet. I mean, dude, they were quiet.
And knowing after talking to Bumblefoot for an hour and a half.
Look, man, Bumblefoot took me on a trip from hell, man. I love that man.
I,
you know, when
I love him, too, and that's one of the main reasons I chose him, not only because he's an absolutely out-of-this-planet guitar player, but one of the main things for me in you know, bringing him on board is he's just the coolest guy. He's such a sweet, sweet guy,
yeah.
Easygoing, easy to work with. And I say the same thing about Jeff. Jeff, that was another thing that, you know, was a huge asset to bringing Jeff on board. He's just a really easygoing, nice guy. Usually, singers and guitar players are the most difficult.
I know.
And in this case, we have the sweetest singer and the sweetest guitar player you could ever hope for. So a big, big, big part of bringing them on board was not only their musical abilities, but also their incredible personalities.
Well, that is fantastic. Now, as far as you and Max, you know, and the things that you are. I know that, Phil, you actually had a question, which was actually...
I thought it would be kind of cool because, you know, everyone gets to hear your thoughts on other drummers, you know, Max or Mike. Dad, what is your opinion of Max's drumming?
or actually, I think it was like...
vice versa at first.
Now, Dad, and what was your favorite? Your favorite
Phil.
Favorite Phil from, yeah. You know, from each other. What's your favorite Phils from each other? You know, these kinds of things.
I could barely hear you. Is that for me or for you?
Well, kind of for both of us.
Yeah, it's kind of for both of you.
But yeah. I couldn't hear the question. What was
asking, like, favorite Phils for both of us?
Of each other?
Yeah.
Well, I've already copped a couple of Max's Phils. I mean, I could hear him doing things that kind of remind me of Chris Adler, and then I'll pick them up from Max. There was, like, definitely one Phil on the latest Neil Morse Band album, where I did a little fill with the Ice Bell and the Splashes.
Yeah.
That was definitely, I definitely copped that from Max.
Wow.
High praise.
Wow. That is fantastic. All right.
Hey, well, I mean, yeah, that's a great thing about being a drummer, a musician. You're never too old or too established to learn something new and pick something up from somebody else, you know? That's
perfect.
That's what it's all about. It's all about just sharing fills.
Yeah. It's like, okay, Max, what do you got? Cough it up. All right, Max, well, what about you? I mean, what is it? What's your favorite stuff that you get from, you know, from your dad?
Well, I mean, there's the pretty much the obvious ones. Like, my dad's signature thing is like the right left kick thing, because that was like the first cool fill I learned. My dad taught me that, like, I don't know, when I started getting more into, like, metal stuff.
Okay.
Because I always listened to it, but I didn't start right away playing metal music.
Right.
So my dad showed me that stuff when I was younger, and I used to practice it all the time. And that's probably, like, my favorite one, because it's, like, it's kind of like his signature thing, I would say.
Okay. So. And you felt like, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you kind of need to kind of carry that on, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's fun to do too. So
okay. Every other drummer in the world has stolen it from me the last 25 years. Life is Max.
Well, Max gets the right to it. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
You know, he gets the total mic. And you know, and speaking of what also Max gets the right to, I want to say that it is a beautiful thing that, you know, one of your signature stuff for Sabian, the Max Splash. It's named after him.
It's named after him, yeah.
You can't.
And my signature snare drum from Tama is a Melody Master. So, yeah, both of my kids have signature drum and cymbals named after them.
See, Max, they can't take that from you. It doesn't matter how many drummers come behind you guys. They steal all your stuff, man. But just when they play that, they just know that your name is on that, so they have to see it the whole time. You know, and I think
I've seen him sign some Max cymbals. Absolutely. That's a cool signature to have, like the Max on a Max cymbal.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking
cool.
about. No, this is some beautiful stuff. And I tell you, you know, Mike, another thing also, too, you know, before we took a commercial break and we knew you guys were getting ready to call in, I played some music from a specific band because I read some stuff and I read some statements that you had about it, but I wanted to hear it from you because I wanted to hear why. We played some of the new stuff from Galactic Cowboys, you know, here on the stage.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear from who?
Galactic Cowboys.
Oh, Galactic Cowboys. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and you know, you were caught making a statement about how you were just so happy because it was obviously one of your favorite bands. And
Yeah. I've been dear friends with those guys for 25 years now. They toured with us, Dream Theater, on the Images and Words tour.
Right.
And they were out with us throughout the summer of 93, so that was 24 years ago.
Okay.
And I pretty much hung with those guys the whole time. I never really hung out with the Dream Theater guys. I always hung out with the opening bands or the crew. So I spent Good. Like that whole summer just hanging with those guys and you know, we were just BFFs on that whole tour. And,
oh, nice.
You know, they broke up, I guess, about, 7 years later. And it's been, I guess, almost 17 years now since they've gotten back together to make a new album. So
yeah,
I couldn't be happier. I mean, I'm their biggest cheerleader. I love those guys.
Yes. And so, you know, we got to catch up with Dane a couple weeks ago. And, you know, and it was and he was so funny because he was so cool because he was like, man, we just thought we'd do this, and next thing you know, we got picked up, we got on a label, we're here, and I don't know, yeah. You know. And
I've offered them. I offered them the first Sons of Apollo leg in February, but they had a scheduling conflict. But I'll continue to, you know, offer them some touring opportunities. Hopefully, one of these days they'll be able to grab one and do it.
Very no, cool. That's going to be fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah, we had when we had Dane on, we had Doug Pinnick called in as well, and he kind of Doug's got a schedule coming up that's pretty crazy, and Dane actually bought you up as he says, you know, you have the Mike Portnoy work ethic to Doug.
everybody's always sharing everybody's, you know, thoughts, yeah. You know, on stuff like that. It's good stuff. Now, Max. All right. So you're talking about this new gig that you've got going on. And I saw a couple, you know, because I'm a stalker. You know, I go look for stuff. You know, I look for dirt and all that kind of good stuff, too. And I saw the announcements of you starting, you know, starting this new band that you've been talking about. What, you have any big plans for it? What are you thinking?
As of right now, we just recorded a couple songs and we got all the instrumentals done. And we're still looking around and getting a singer, but we actually have a couple shows coming up.
Okay.
I'll post them when we get a little bit closer to them. So just like be on like my Instagram and stuff. I think I'll be able to post the closest one in the coming days, like maybe tomorrow or something.
Right.
But yeah, we're still just looking around for some singers and stuff just to see which one fits right. And then really once we get that, we'll kind of do like the big launch of it because we're still keeping it kind of on the down low for now.
Right.
Not doing any like huge announcements yet, but
right.
Everything's slowly coming together, and then eventually we'll put it all out there.
So when you're when you're looking for somebody and you're looking, you know, for somebody to fit the band, you know, you're looking for a singer. What kind of process are you do you go through? You know, things get so crazy now, you know, and I just wonder. I mean, is this a word of mouth thing, or is this a suggestion thing, or you got somebody as a headhunter? I mean, how are you doing this?
It's kind of just like, for example, I just made a post today on my Instagram again, just like asking around for like, if anyone knows any singers or if they are one that would be interested or whatever.
Wow.
So, like, message me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Okay.
And then, like, we usually just kind of, like, see if they have videos or stuff. And it's mainly just, asking around and to people we know, seeing if they have any suggestions for someone that would work out or something.
Okay.
Or, like, if there's someone that sees the post from it being shared or something.
Wow.
We get, like, we've gotten a couple different things that we're still getting currently, like, new auditions and stuff. So
yeah.
I actually have someone I'm going to be, like, auditioning with, like, tonight. I've, like, been texting with them. So it's just kind of, like, every day just been looking through different people, talking to different people.
Good for you. And, hell,
like,
yeah.
Soon I think we'll be able to narrow it down to who we really want to be, like, the final person to stick with us.
How do you know when you found the right person? What's your barometer? What goes off in your head when you know you've got it right?
It's definitely, like, a combination of everything, because there's some people that sound really good, but, like, they don't have the right look and, like,
right.
stage presence that we're looking for, or it might be the other way around. So
it's
really just finding someone that has, like, the right kind of voice we're going for, because we want someone with more of, like, a unique sounding voice.
Okay.
So as long as they, like, have that, and then they have good stage presence and, like, experience, and if they can get along with the band, then that's kind of the perfect person. Whereas,
no,
like, sometimes it's hard because they might not be able to work too well with, like, other people, or they, like, look great and have experience, but not the right kind of voice we're going for, or something like that. So it's hard to, like, look through all those different options and stuff.
Right. Now, as far as everybody that's in the band, do all of you sit down and go, okay, and make the decision collectively, you know, or is this something that kind of falls on your shoulders?
Yeah, I mean, generally, I've been pretty much in charge of it. Same with the guitarist, because we don't want to just, like, pick someone and then, like, have the rest of the band just be like, okay, but if we keep it to just kind of, like, me and someone else for now, just to, like, sort through everything and then bring it to the rest of the guys and say, like, oh, this is someone we like. Like, what do you guys think? Because we don't want to just go with someone if the other guys aren't digging his voice or her voice or something.
Sure.
So
I love the way you said,
like,
that.
Right now, just looking through stuff, it's just kind of mainly me and this other guy. And then we'll bring it to everyone else, like, once we narrow down the options.
Perfect. I love that said his or her voice. I love that's all. Good for you, my man. That's what that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you need a woman to front that band. We need some really some new strong women, you know, to do this. Yes.
Yeah. Of course, if they're good, then I'm totally fine with it, you know.
He's like, dude, it'll sell. She looks great. It's all good. Well,
one of Max's favorite new bands these days has a girl guitar player.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, true. Yeah. Code Orange.
Oh, yes. Good.
Don't we have some of their stuff, or am I thinking of...
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking we're supposed to be getting some of their stuff in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be getting some of their stuff in. Good for you. That's what I'm talking about. You know...
yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, Mike, it's funny. I know it's got to be kind of surreal for you to listen to, you know, to listen to your son, you know, talk about, you know, planning his world and his moments. I mean, and there's got to be a proud thing there for you. There's also got to be a scared thing there for you.
You know, I'm not scared about him. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He doesn't drink or do drugs, and he loves playing. So I'm not that worried. I think he's learned a lot about the pitfalls, and you know, he's had a lot of guidance from me and his mom.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, you know, I would just want to, like, set him free and let him do his thing. And, you know, he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he knows what he wants musically. You know, he knows what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. And, you know, he's an adult now. He's 18 years old. He's an adult legally. So,
right.
You know, we treat him that way. You know, the first couple of years, we, you know, it was always amazing watching Next to None open for Metal Allegiance or the Winery Dogs or whoever.
Right.
They just went out and did the Shattered Fortress tour in Europe with me this last summer. So, yeah, I mean, that watching that is an incredible feeling of pride.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm starting to feel now that, like, you know, he needs to go off and do his own thing and spread his wings. And I'm not worried. I think he knows what he wants, and he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Very cool.
That is so fantastic. So when you let him go and spread his wings and stuff like that, what are you going to be doing? I mean, you got like, I don't know, a ton of programs on your plate. You know, you got a lot of things you're getting into. I know you got Sons of Apollo have announced, obviously, you know, a couple of dates, you know, coming out of the gate. Of course, getting on the Cruise to the Edge show along with a couple of things. You guys also announced a very cool thing that you guys are doing in September where a symphony is involved.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sons of Apollo pretty much is going to be out all throughout 2018.
Okay.
February is already announced in the States. We also have another run in America in April and May. We already have a South America tour that's booked that hasn't been announced yet. We got a huge run in Europe over the summer doing a lot of the big festivals. So, I mean, it's all getting mapped out and announced slowly but surely now, but... Yeah, this is going to all culminate with this amazing show that we're doing in Europe in September, playing with an orchestra.
Right,
and we're
going
to do a covers set that night. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool. We'll film it for a Blu-ray. And I love being able to do special stuff like that. I always did that kind of stuff with Dream Theater.
Right.
You know, anytime back in my days of Dream Theater, whenever there was a special covers gig or a fan club show or
special
set lists, that was always my doing. So I like doing that kind of stuff, and you know, I think it'll be perfect for Sons of Apollo.
No, it's going to be fantastic. And I have to tell you, before I forget, because I don't want to miss this chance, you know, when, of course, you know, Radio Memphis, you know, we've been around for, almost, you know, 7 years and stuff. But the Prague show, thanks to my sidekick here, Phil, you know, we've been going, we've been celebrating almost, you know, actually in the next couple of weeks, it'll be a year that we've done the Prague show. And when we kicked off the show, we were extremely fortunate enough to kick off with music, you know, from the Neil Morse Band. And, you know, when you know, that idea started coming into play and you guys went on that crazy, you know, whirlwind tour, you know, of epic proportions, you know, for the past year. And I cannot tell you, and since you're on here on the phone with us and we have that opportunity, I cannot tell you what a fantastic job that all of you did with that album. And
well,
that
thank
presence.
You. That, thank you.
That is it's been a long time, you know. Phil and I laugh and we joke because there'll be a couple of songs like we'll play, especially when we're doing the show and stuff like that. You know, not lighters are not involved. We use cell phones and stuff, but you know, you throw them up in the air, you wave, you know, you're at the concert, you're singing along, you're having the moment. Phil cries.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes
Phil will cry in one or two of the songs.
That's a sign of a good band or a good show if you see grown men crying.
I'm just letting.
Throughout the entire Shattered Fortress tour, I watched grown men cry each and every night, and we knew we were doing our job. Same with the Neil Morse Band tour.
See.
But yeah, that's a good sign.
Here's a funny story I've told on the air before. I got to come down to the first show for the Similitude of a Dream tour, and
I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry, man. Is that better?
You could shout at me, and I won't take offense to it. I just can't hear you.
Is that better?
Ah, much better.
I'm trying not to totally swallow the mic, but
go ahead, swallow the mic.
Shush.
I'm just saying.
No, I got to come down to the opening show for A Similitude of a Dream and interview Neil and Bill. And when a friend of mine that went with me, who's a former professional wrestler, he is not a big fan of Prague at all, but he went with me just as a friend. And during the middle of the last song of the first set,
right,
I look over at him and there's tears just pouring down his cheek. And he looks at me, he goes, "Those lyrics hit home."
That's amazing when music can hit somebody like that that's never heard it. Like,
yeah.
We had a similar experience when we played The Similitude of a Dream in New York City, and my daughter came with some friends, and a couple of her friends had never heard the Neil Morse Band, never heard the album, and one of her friends was breaking down crying at the end of the show. And it's like, wow, when you have music that can connect and hit people like that,
yeah,
that's amazing.
That's
well, you'll be happy to know we start a new Neil Morse Band album in a couple weeks, actually. Before I leave for the Thunder Apollo tour, we're getting together to get started on a new Neil Morse Band album. So that'll be in the works throughout the year. throughout the coming year.
I'm sure it'll cause many more tears among grown men.
It's got to. It's got to. Are you kidding? And see, that's the beautiful thing. And you know, one of the things that, you know, that we always try to do here at Radio Memphis, you know, we have a, you know, a ton of artists, you know, a ton of musicians that love tuning in, you know, signed, unsigned, all of it, you know, and we support it all. And one of the things I love, you know, I love for them to hear is from somebody like you, and yet you and Max, when you can talk about all the different things and different styles and different, you know, stuff that you can get into and play. But that's the thing. The groups that you guys are talking about, you know, everybody, I mean, you play your music, you know, and this is one of those things where, you know, when you can sit there and get lost in the moment, forget that you have a cell phone, you know what I mean? And plug in, you know, it's a fantastic moment. And it was, I didn't want to miss the chance to tell you, you know, how just enthralled and how amazed I was with that one.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. You are extremely welcome.
Actually, we kicked that whole, when Similitude was getting ready to come out, Randy had came on the air with us. He was our actually
Randy first. Is funny as hell.
He was our first interview we did as part of the Prog Time thing.
Yeah.
And it was funny because at that point, I think only one of the songs, was the first song that came out, City of Destruction?
I think
that was the first one, and he had given us that to play, and it was just really cool to talk to Randy when that was all getting ready to go on, and fun shows, you know, fun time.
Well, I look forward to seeing those guys in a couple weeks. I mean, I spent all year out with Eric Gillette.
Oh, nice.
He was playing with me in the Shattered Fortress, so
yeah. Yes.
I've been with Eric all year, but I look forward to seeing the other three guys in a few weeks when we start the album.
Very cool.
See, you got so many different relationships with so many different styles of people.
Right after the Neil Morse, right after we start writing at the beginning of January, then I fly to L.A. to play a gig with Metal Allegiance. So I shift from playing with the Prog guys, Bill Eubauer and Randy George, to going to play with Gary Holt from Slayer and Alex Skolnick from Testament and David Ellison from Megadeth. And, you know, totally got to switch hats, like, within a couple days from each other.
But you can do it.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for years. I'm used to it, and I love it, and that's what I do.
For 25. You know, honey, if you were, you know, you've said you've got your son, you've got Max, you know, and Max has taken to you, and really, not only has he followed, you know, your footsteps, he's also creating his own, and which is fantastic, and he's putting his own stamp on some things. But you have to have a ton of people that come up to both of you, you know, and ask you, you know, how do you do this? How can I be like you? How can I do what you're doing? You know, what's the first pieces of advice that either one of you are going to say to somebody?
I mean, for me, like, I've had a couple, obviously not as much as my dad, but...
Oh, you will. You will,
sweetheart. I don't know. It depends on, who it is or whatever. Like, some people, like, I can really relate to if they're, like, my age and they're in, like, a similar situation where they're, like, trying to get into metal and stuff, and it's like, you just need to keep playing out and playing shows, even if it's just in a cover band with your friends or something, because that's how you end up meeting other people. And, like, once you find, like, the certain people that you gel with or whatever, you just got to keep working with them and writing and, like, doing stuff. And that, like, you don't just, like, sit around and wait for something to happen. You have to just be proactive and just, like, not stop doing anything. Because, like, this is, like, the first time, like, this week, like, we all kind of agreed to just kind of, like, relax a little bit, but, like, we've been nonstop for the past 4 months and before that I was on tour all summer with Next to None, and in spring with, like, in Europe with Next to None. So, like, I've been just doing stuff nonstop, single day, and that's, like, what you have to do. You can't just, like, sit around and wait for things to happen.
No, you've got to continue on and do that, and, you know, and if nothing's happening, then you make some stuff happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, baby. Like I said, you're just getting started into the fact they're going to be chasing you down for some advice, and you've got a great head on your shoulders, and I don't worry about you either.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so Mike, you know, it's not Max. It's some random child coming up to you that doesn't belong to you, you know, and they're asking you for the same advice. What are you telling them?
Everything Max just said was great. It's about playing with other musicians, getting out there, working your ass off, being proactive and making stuff happen, not waiting for it to come to you. I mean, everything Max just said is perfect, perfect advice. I mean, maybe he knows this stuff because he grew up with me. You know, his whole life he's been watching me do it, and he's been living you know, in the house with me while I go through all these things. And so I think he's learned well, because everything he just said was great advice. And that's pretty much the same advice I would give any kid.
Same thing. And, you know, it is very beneficial when you have, you know, family and you've got support, you know what I mean? And you've got that understanding, you know, and that's a big thing too. You know what I mean? On that. I have one last question, you know, unless Phil, you've got one.
They answered a lot of that. Last one was pretty much what my question was.
Well, okay, out of curiosity, all right, so we'll ask Max first, since he's young and spry, you know, and he's the young one, man. We're gonna ask him first. All right, ultimate big goal. What do you have that's a big goal for you, you know, that you want to accomplish? Say at least in the next year. What are you accomplishing?
In the next year? That's a good question. I mean, definitely with my new band getting, like, our first recording out and finished and, you know, released, and then hopefully doing a couple tours with my new band is really, like, the big goal for this year. It's really good, too, because, like, everything's kind of happening where it's just going to start right at the start of 2018, which is cool, so we can really see, like, what kind of progress we made by the end of the year. So
right.
Really just excited to get that out and have people hear that and hopefully play shows and do some tours with everyone in that band. So
okay.
That's really for this year what the main goal is.
Okay, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. Now, for Mike is a little different, okay? Mike's been doing this for a very long time. You know, Mike has been everywhere. Mike has played with damn near everyone, you know? So Mike, is there something that you haven't accomplished yet that would be a bucket list for you? Is there something that you have to do? Come on.
No. I mean, honestly,
there's got to be
I've
one
done everything
thing.
I've ever dreamed of. I remember I have a video of me when I was around Max's age doing an interview. It was with my first band, Intruder, and they pretty much asked me exactly what you just asked me, like, you know, you know, what's your dream? What's your goal? And I remember in the video saying, well, I guess the ultimate dream is to play Madison Square Garden. And, you know, now here I am at 50 years old, and I've played Madison Square Garden. I've played the Budokan. I've played Wembley.
Right.
I've played, you know, any place I've ever wanted to play or anything I've ever dreamed of. I've won every drum award I can think of. I have 30 Modern Drummer Awards that I'm sitting here looking at in my living room. And so in answer to your question, my goals are not musical ones or career oriented ones. Like right now, if the question is, you know, what's your goal? What do you dream of? My dream is to live long enough to watch Max and Melody get married and have kids and be a grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, my at this point, that's pretty much what I look forward to in my life. And of course, I still want to keep playing with all my bands. But you know.
Yes.
And I hope Sons of Apollo does great next year when we hit the road for the first time. And I would love to be accepted and, you know, and people love the band. And, you know, we could continue to build and develop that band. But, you know, what I built with Dream Theater took 25 years.
It did.
I can't start 25 years with Sons of Apollo now.
No.
I'm 50 years old. I, you know, Billy Sheehan's, you know, older than me. He's in his 60s. So, you know, I know the timelines for my bands now are on a much faster track than Dream Theater was when I was younger. But I'm just enjoying the ride. Musically, I just enjoy the ride. But really, all of my goals are personal ones. And, you know, watching
Perfect.
Max succeed and watching my daughter, you know, continue to blossom as she is. So
perfect.
That's really all that's left for me at this point.
Well, you know, you have to say, yeah, you have to really kind of give it to yourself though too, is that you are so cool, man, that you did all that you did and you're just the age that you are, that you actually are going to get the chance to enjoy some of that you just laid out. Yes. So I'm very happy for you. You've done well.
Cool.
You've done very well. Listen, I know you boys are busy, and we both, Phil and I both, want to thank you for stopping down in your crazy worlds. You know, you have a chance to spend to some quality time with each other, and you call a radio show, which I think is kind of cool.
Well, this is officially my last interview of the year. So I'm done.
Oh, okay. Well, then we feel honored. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I am now officially on vacation for the rest of the year.
Well, you need to enjoy your vacation. And I tell you what, Max, you enjoy yourself. I hope your auditions go well. I hope that she is amazing.
Thank you.
And listen, both of you, if there's anything that we can do for you guys, I'm here at Radio Memphis. You just let us know, and we'll be more.
Thank you very much.
You are very.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for your time.
Enjoy your night.
All right. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mike and Max Portnoy right here on Radio Memphis. You know, that was really sweet because we're the last interview of the year.
Yeah.
We're the last ones, man. I mean, that was a fantastic gift, guys. Thank you so much. Are you kidding?
Yeah, so that's our gift to you as our anniversary gift.
Yes.
That's one of the names on the short list that we've been trying to work into for this whole past year. So as the second year starts of Prog Time, there's a slightly larger list.
There is.
Now we're back at stage one.
We're back at stage one.
You know, we've hit that max level, not to use Max's name.
Max's name is on everything. Use Max's name, man. Max Stacks, Max Symbols, Max Levels.
Of the first year. Mm. And now we're back starting at stage one with a whole new crew, because we played 6 degrees of Mike Portnoy.
We did.
You know.
We did, and we wound up talking to everybody that was like all around his ballpark too, which was fantastic. Yeah. You know, and it's beautiful. But, you know, that also goes back to another thing too. You got to remember, you know, these guys, you know, all, you know, kind of, you know, in a lack of better terms, you know, grew up together for the most sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, and it's not like the place is as big of a playground as you think it is.
No,
especially when you get to that level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, the contributions, you know, make no mistake, you know, we were just trying to have some fun, and we were just trying to, you know, be a little more relaxed and stuff like that. But you know, it is no understatement to say, you know, just the impact, you know, that, you know, Mike himself, you know, has made, you know, just on the music world, drumming.
He bought it up, just the drumming alone, you know, all the awards that he's won and things like that. But when you take it farther than that and the influence he's had on musicians and a lot of, you know, a lot of people in general, you know, like I've talked to people who aren't musicians, but they hear that name and there's a recognition.
Well, I've always had this thing about drummers, right?
Yeah.
I grew up, of course, my brother was a drummer. I was supposed to be a drummer, but, you know, we had to choose because we were poor people. But anyways, with that being said, you know, and yes, you know, like anybody else, you know, following up, you know, and found out about him, you know, through Dream Theater and, you know, and followed him all the way through.
Yeah.
He was one of those people, though, that, you know, I always continue to follow. And I have to say, you know, and I wish I would have been able to tell him, he's the main reason why my favorite set of all time, you know, is the Tama Star Classic Bubengas.
Yeah.
Man, I Purple Sparkle. Just throwing it out there, just in case, like Santa Claus or somebody, you know, hears me, or you know,
someone at Hoshino
or whatever, Tama, you know. I mean, I don't care who drives the sleigh, man. It doesn't matter, you know. It's one of those. But you know, I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, just for the playing ability,
yeah,
you know, and the impact.
It goes back to what we talked about too before about, you know, when we talked about there are no rock, you know, there are no guitar gods anymore.
Mm-mm.
But there are, you know. There are still those larger than life musicians out there.
Sure, there.
Mike, you know, and all the guys from Dream Theater were that. You know, when Images and Words came out, it was like, where the hell did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even when you look at the other bands who were part of that big progressive push in the early 90s, Queensryche, Fate's Warning, Watchtower, Galactic Cowboys, you know, while they all were great musicians, there was something bigger.
Absolutely. And, you know, and of course, you know, just in the fiber of, you know, who he is, you know, it stemmed into, you know, into his, you know, his other projects that he winds up getting into, you know, and winds up, you know, excelling at. I'm very excited for Max.
Yeah,
I am extremely excited for Max. And you know what? A great head on a shoulder, man, with that boy.
I mean, he's grown up around some of the biggest names in the industry. And as you can tell, he's learned one of the biggest rules as a musician that you need to learn, and that's listen.
He has. He's listened.
Don't talk. Listen.
He's
definitely listened to like all those guys.
He has.
And taken everything they say to heart. And he that's has. Awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Speaking of Max.
Some next to none.
Yeah, we got some next to none. So you guys can actually hear a little bit of that, you know. And of course, a little bit later on, you know, I got to get some music in and stuff. A little bit later on, of course, you know, we do have some Neil Morse Band and stuff. You know, I got to get my boys in and stuff for today for the special interviews, you know, and having some time with us here on Radio Memphis. So you guys don't go anywhere. In the meantime, how about a little, you know, the apple? Because it doesn't fall far from the tree on this one, right here on Radio Memphis Frog Time.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.